Todd Furman is on.
Good call, Blaine. Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How's everything there in Nashville?
You know how I knew you were on? I just clicked on the Twitter feed, and I saw that you tweeted out that you're on with us.
Social media tends to come in handy when the host can't remember his weekly Wednesday spot. It makes my feelings hurt, but I guess it is the summer doldrums, Brent, so all is forgiven, since football will actually start for real in less than a month at this point.
We're at the American Idol auditions. Odds that one of the three of us would make it through today.
Who would have the highest odds?
I will let anyone who wants to bet package the three of you, and we'll offer you guys at about 15,000 to one. So the chances of Vanderbilt wins a national championship still extremely more lucrative than you guys getting through this round of auditions.
How much gambling will go on the Hall of Fame game simply because people are so eager to bet on football again?
Everyone is itching at this time of year, Clay, to try and get involved, and you'd be surprised in terms of what you'll get. It won't be anything close to a Sunday night regular season game, but the betting handle on the Giants-Buffalo game this coming Sunday, where the Buffalo's a 1.5-point favorite, total of 32.5, will surpass what you're going to get on the Sunday night baseball game, which is the Red Sox and Yankees. So to put that in perspective, football is king, everything else is queen in the sports book.
So, what's moving right now in terms of the money, the over-unders, is in college football or the NFL? Is anything really kind of jumping out at you?
Some interesting trends that have emerged from a couple of sports books telling me that the Bears, it's impossible for anybody to, you know, book an under bet on the Bears at 8.5. About 95% of the money at Bovada coming in on the over for them. It's been the real trendy play. Two surprises, though. You look at last year's surprise in Carolina. They've taken a huge amount of under money there on the Panthers. A lot of people believing last season was a fluke. And the Dallas Cowboys as well. Their win total has gone from 8 to 7.5. The biggest professional position, though, has been on the Kansas City Chiefs. Their win total opened up at 8 at some of the sharper books. Anywhere it opened 8.5, you have to lay about $1.70 or $1.80 there, which bodes well for Tennessee, maybe able to pull off the upset as 6-point underdogs in week one.
Yeah, in Tennessee, as we said, offshore 5.5 a couple months ago, and now at like 7?
Yeah, this number has moved a good amount. I mean, some of the books opened a little bit lower, so I'll call 6.5, 7 more or less the consensus. But there is talk that you look at the division right now, and the Colts maybe not the world beaters some of the casual fans think they are. I don't think the Houston Texans rebound as completely as people believe. Yes, from 2-14, 7-9 would be a market improvement. But Tennessee right now becomes a little bit of a dark horse. If they get consistent quarterback play, they shore up the defense, and now you have the distraction in the form of Chris Johnson shipped off to New York. I think the Titans, looking at them over 7 and maybe even having an outside shot to win the division, make an awful lot of sense.
What about the UT game that's opened against Utah State? A lot of people hear Utah State. We've talked about this for a while and think, oh, that's a laugher. That's a team that they should be able to handle easily. Chucky Keaton, a very talented quarterback. This game could make a lot of people in Knoxville nervous based on what the line's done.
It definitely should. You look at what some of the offshore books have used on the opener. They did make Tennessee a 7-point favorite. That number's come down a little bit at 6.5. I think 7 this far out seemed like a bit of a steep price. The total there, Clay, sits at 50.5 or 51, depending on where you look. So much of Utah State's offense, as you alluded to, goes through Chucky Keaton. The defense won't be as tenacious as it was last year, and still a ton of questions on Tennessee and how good this team will be. I think it's one of the more fascinating week one games when you see so many spreads of 3 touchdowns or more. This is a huge chance for Tennessee to get a win over a good mid-major and a good mid-major team to try and go into SEC country and walk away victorious.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas on Twitter, you get him with specific questions about specific games. Yeah, those week one lines are out. At Todd Furman on Twitter.
Well, Todd, today is prop day, prop bets. And the prop bet, I want to know, first and foremost, is Vanderbilt's quarterback job. Who's going to win that?
I think
throw the curveballs on you there. Right?
Yeah, you'd have to ask Coach Mason. He's got a much better idea of exactly how this situation will unfold. But to put in perspective, Blaine, it really doesn't matter to odds makers because you look at Vandy with their season opener on Thursday night against the Temple team. They should be able to roll over. Vandy, a 16.5-point favorite for that game. The over-under set there at 52.
I'll give you something a little fair. Are there any, I guess, bets on the Little League World Series as we have South Nashville in odds? See about that. Because I don't think you can bet on those games, can you?
You won't be able to bet them here in Las Vegas, but of course, degeneracy reigns supreme in the offshore books. There will be odds available. Typically, those offshore books don't put up prices, though, until the teams end up in Williamsport. It allows odds makers to get a little bit of a better grasp. We have seen some major upsets in the past, though. You had a Taipei team losing to Canada last year as a 7.5-run favorite. So there is some value, but even I may have to draw the line betting on 14-year-old kids out there playing Little League Baseball.
All right, no doubt. Now we have Rick Stockstill from Conference USA, Middle Tennessee, on who's favorite for that conference there.
You look at Conference USA, and it's really a one-horse race unless somebody comes from well off the pace. Marshall, led by Rakeem Cato, amongst the heaviest favorite in all of college football to win their conference, right now listed as a 1-7 favorite. The next closest team, UTSA and Rice, both at 8-1, and then you have a bit more of a drop off to the likes of North Texas and Middle Tennessee State, both at 15-1.
What?
Marshall, interesting note on them, they'll actually be a double-digit favorite in all 12 of their games, assuming Cato stays healthy, which puts them on a crash course to go undefeated and still get relegated to a third-tier bowl game.
Now, what about the USA basketball team, I guess? Will they come away with the gold medal once again?
Yeah, very heavy favorites to win the FIBA championships. You look at who most likely would be the teams to potentially upset them. Spain, the only other team listed in single digits. Team USA actually a 1-3 favorite to win that. Spain behind them at 2-1. And then you're talking about a huge drop-off to the likes of Argentina and France, both at 30-1. Greece at 35-1 along with Brazil. And then everybody else 50-1 or greater. The interesting part, though, Blaine, there actually is not a price on Team USA to win their group because they are such a prohibitive favorite for that role. So you can only bet on them to win it outright. It's putting up $3 to get you a dollar coming back.
What about the odds on, Lester in baseball getting traded into who?
The story earlier today broke that Baltimore appeared to be the front runner. I still think Pittsburgh probably has the most prospects. But you look at the Orioles right now, 16-1 to win the World Series. That number would come down a bit if they were to add the ace to the rotation that they so desperately need. Figure that price would be right in that 12-1 range. The Pirates, who have closed the gap on Milwaukee and St. Louis in that division, you were looking at them at 20-1 to win the World Series. They might come down to the 15-1 range. But I would say Baltimore and Pittsburgh, probably a pick 'em right now, a little bit more of a long shot to go to the Dodgers, given that the Dodgers are reluctant to give up their top prospect, Jock Peterson.
Yeah, John Lester pulled from his start today.
Yeah.
So something's probably about to happen. Words by Chuck on Twitter. Can you ask Todd Furman to define quote-unquote smart money?
Smart money is the money that the sports books really respect. So, for example, guys, if you and I were going into the sports book, Brent, they would probably respect your share of wallet a lot more than mine and tend to move the line based on the person that's placing the bet more so than the actual dollar amount. It's why people always wonder, well, if 75% of the tickets are coming in on one side, why is the line moving the other way? Every dollar in the sports betting marketplace isn't created equally, so a $1,000 bet can move a number in its favor, while a $10,000 bet from a recreational bettor may not actually do a whole lot. Books are more than happy to embrace what's called the square money on the other side.
That's a good point and a good question that he asked, because I used to believe that this was a market, you know, just like the stock market. A price goes up or down based on what people are willing to pay. Vegas isn't like that. There's some money that's more valued than others.
Exactly, Clay. I mean, you look at it, it's not a truly efficient supply and demand market. Typically, if that was the case, books would be more than happy to have 50% of the money on each side and then just collect the juice. But the reality of it is there's opinions in the market that are much more educated than others, and if books can put themselves on the right side of the equation 65 to 70% of the time, they're more than happy to let the public win a smaller share of the decisions and trust that the professionals will be right more often than not, and they'll reflect their opinions by moving the lines wherever that money's coming in from the pros.
I saw that Alabama is a prohibitive favorite right now to win the SEC. I think that would surprise a lot of people because people assume Auburn's going to be pretty good, South Carolina, Florida, whoever the market is out there. There are a lot of good SEC teams. Why is Alabama so huge of a favorite to win the SEC right now?
It's as much brand recognition as anything else. You really believe that Alabama never has to rebuild. They simply reload. And there's so many question marks for all the other teams in the SEC, whether it's if Auburn can get as lucky as they did last year and have that same success in terms of turnover margin and getting those key plays. LSU, you know, who knows what the offense is going to look like? Can they replace the talented tandem of receivers? And who's going to start a quarterback? And on the eastern half of the draw, Georgia and South Carolina, of course, the front runners there, but Georgia even if they're healthier, will that defense be better without Todd Grantham? And South Carolina, of course, breaking in a lot of new contributors, but so much will be relied on Dylan Thompson and Mike Davis while that defense starts to get their feet under them.
Good stuff, Todd. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys.
All right, thank you. At Todd Furman. And during the college football season and NFL season, must follow at Todd Furman on Twitter. And he's great getting back to you if you ask about specific games. We'll be right back. 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 104.5 The Zone.